The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask today that you help us to turn away worry. Help us turn away from not trusting in you, so that we will be able to go from this place serving you alone. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if I was a bit of a lazier pastor, remember, you do not have a lazy pastor. Y'all know that, right? I would have got up here and said, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and this sermon's sponsored by Hallmark. And you know, you need to give your Valentine to God. And not money. But I'm not going to do that sermon today, because this sermon is not all about just money. That word that's translated money here is mammon is the word that they use. And that word referenced more than just money. Prosperity, wealth, the drive to get more prosperity and wealth, that pull that we all encounter when we're dealing with money and the matters of money. And so last week, just like last week, at the beginning of this section, Jesus is offering us a choice. A choice that we are going to have to make each and every day of our lives. We'll wake up and have to make that choice. Who will you serve? Who will you serve? Now, you could almost sum up the entire Sermon on the Mount, three chapters of Matthew, in that one question. And Jesus is pushing for an answer. Will it be God or wealth? And here Jesus is not unlike Joshua, who gathered the tribes of Israel together after they had entered the promised land and asked them to choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Jesus is asking, where is your focus? What sets your priorities, determines your choices, the pursuit of God or the pursuit of money and wealth? Now, Jesus knows us well, right? Jesus knows that our possessions, all the things that we own, our wealth, has a way of possessing us like something out of The Exorcist. I mean, it's on the keen of that demonic possession, right? You start to get some nice stuff. And I've known this all the time. You get a big house and then you go, well, we need to fill it, right? Yeah, we need to get some more stuff. What about that room? That's missing that. Oh, but we got to do our landscaping. Oh my gosh. And before you know it, you have all these things that your possessions, and they start to determine your life. Do you ever feel that? That so much of your life is determined by taking care of the stuff you own? How much time do you spend each week taking care of your stuff? My gosh, I tell Anne, I'm like, I don't want to spend time doing this. Oh, let's get rid of it. That's bad, because that's, and then she goes, no, we need that. We need that pot. We need to cook in it. But the idea here, right, that the upkeep becomes so much, that wonderful big house that you own becomes the reason you need to keep earning a big salary. It starts to dictate your life for you instead of the other way around. It's that old saying, right? The things you own start to own you. Your possessions become your master. Think about your life for a minute. Think about that. Think about the things that you have to manage: your house, your car, your collections, your investments, your shopping list. Where else would you rather be spending that time? Is this trade-off blessing your life? Now remember here, Jesus is not saying that money is inherently evil, and obviously we have to go to the grocery store because we have to eat, and we have to fix our car because our car gets us to work, right? And our house is nice, and it keeps the rain out, the snow out, right? But what Jesus is challenging us is towards our attitudes towards money. Our attitudes towards wealth and the power we give it, because on its own, money is neutral. But the things that we imbue money with can be very destructive, can change how we live our lives. You see, as Americans and as people of the world, we see money as a means to freedom, as a means to accomplish our dreams, to give us the good life. And it is true that money offers us opportunity to live happier, fulfilled lives. But if we allow the pursuit of wealth to take over, if we fall into the money pit that has no ending, where we keep wanting to get more and more, we lose our very souls. The freedom that money offers is limited. It has strings attached. Serving that master will not offer lasting happiness or freedom, but it is endless march of consumption, always needing the next thing to satisfy our master. Now, in choosing the pursuit of wealth over the pursuit of God, our lives start to feel like one giant big Black Friday sale, right? Where we're just elbowing everybody in our way to get to that $200 52-inch big screen television. And you all have seen those videos. And people die every year on Black Friday. Every year somebody gets trampled or killed on Black Friday. And when you're in that mess of feeling like you need more stuff, or that pull of the next thing that's going to satisfy your desire or hit that dopamine thing in your head, just caught up in that spiral where it's never ending, because the thing, the minute you get it, you have to go through that whole process over again. A while back when I was going through all my simplifying stuff, I started this practice of going to the store and purposely not buying anything. I would go to the store and I would see this thing that I really wanted. I mean, I wanted it, you know, and I wanted it at the moment. I probably didn't really want it, but I wanted it at the moment. And I would pick it up and I would admire it, and, you know, and I would even find a little spot to sit down at the store, maybe at the Target or at the Walmart. Just look at this thing. Go, man, this is really wonderful. And then put it back and walk out. I had to learn to do that because I would always just buy it. Because it's like, what are you doing? I had to expend the one. Come, sure, let's do it, okay? Stop. And I found that the more I was able to do that, the better I was able to walk out of any store that I was in without buying things that I did not need, right? Because we have to kind of stop that demonic possession, that desire of the next thing, the thing that's going to complete our life. We have to stop that drive, exercise that demon. And so here Jesus offers us this alternative to congested shopping lines and large credit card balances. He says, consider the lilies of the field. Oh, the lilies of the field, right? Look at the birds of the air. Oh, Dawn, birds of the air, Dawn. Counting the birds of the air. God cares for them. So God will care for you. So stop worrying. Exit the rat race, the constant pursuit of more possessions and wealth, and lean on God. God isn't saying to be irresponsible, right? Because you read this passage, it's like, this is straight up irresponsible. Don't plan. What? If I didn't plan for every worship service, I already prayed the prayer Elaine was supposed to pray earlier. I'm messing things up every week. If I didn't plan, I wouldn't be doing any of this. It's irresponsible not to plan, but that's not what he's talking about. It's not talking about not planning. That's not what's going on here. It's not about being irresponsible. Like, just don't worry about your retirement or that broken car. God's just going to come fix it, right? Right? It's not like, it's not like, you know, I'm just going to walk into my house and God's going to provide a nice four-course meal for me, right? Don't worry about your next meal. God will not miraculously lay hands on your car and fix the brakes. That's not what's happening here. Jesus is using these symbols, the lilies, the birds, to shift our focus. Reorient ourselves. So instead of starting with stress, fear of the frantic pursuit of the necessities of our lives, start with the recognition of God's blessings already present in your life. This is the reorientation from not enough to more than enough. From scarcity to abundance. So this is what I'm telling you. That every morning when you wake up, you have a decision to put on the worry jacket or the coat of many colors over here of God's blessings. How many of you, all of you, have a day that starts off with, oh my goodness, how am I going to accomplish everything I need to get done today? It's never going to happen. This list just keeps getting longer, right? Those days where worry is the starting place and it's the ending place for the day. Jesus is saying, turn that around. Let worry be second. Allow God to be first. Choose God. And choose to recognize what God has already given to you in your life each and every day. Start there. And do what you need to do. Maybe you need to put a cross somewhere in your room, a nice picture of a laughing Jesus or something. But get it into your bedroom and think about that so that you can start from a place of blessing as opposed to a place of worry. Maybe you need to start your day with prayer. Maybe you need to have a prayer book right next to your bed But the first thing you get up is thanking God for what you have received. Because the reality is, God cares for us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And then we can see that our wealth, the things that we own, our possessions, are not the end goal, but tools to serve and share with God and God's people. Recent studies have shown that people who give away their money actually live happier lives than those who desperately try to hold on to it. There's something about having a right relationship with God so that you can have a right relationship with your stuff. They have to go in that order. So choose for this day whom you will serve, God or your possessions. But we have to be careful, and I think every one of you all know this, that when I tell you not to worry, I tell you to trust and lean on God for everything. We know that trusting in God completely is not going to solve all of our problems, right? You may have a struggle that you're facing in your life, and you have been praying all day, every day, God, please take this away. Please, what are you doing? Take it away. I trust in you completely, and this thing is not going away. I can't figure out how for it to be taken away from me. So we have to be careful when we tell people that you need to trust on God, but tell them that that isn't going to immediately take away all your problems. It's not like you're going to believe in God one day and all of a sudden all your burdens are going to be lifted and you're just dancing free. It's great. But it's not. We know that. All of us live lives of faith in here and we struggle. We suffer. We suffer, which in turn causes us to worry. Worry, which in turn leads us down the paths of false gods, like the endless pursuit of wealth. And so we have to remember that, like, God is not like laundry detergent, right? God, Clorox is going to take away all the stains in one wash. That's not going to happen to us. It's not going to be one wash. We're not going to be able to have this burden lifted off us, all of our struggles lifted off of us. But trusting God does offer us an alternative to the destructive nature of greed and narcissism. It helps us to live lives of true fulfillment, focused not on ourselves and our needs, but on God. God who is greater than any of us, and God whose needs in the kingdom here on earth. So trust God. But more importantly, beyond, I mean, you mostly trust God, but start each day with God. Find a way in your life to trust God from the very first moment. And I promise you, each and every day, your struggles will not be taken away. But that reorientation will help you deal better the struggles that you do face. And in that trust, you will find your walk of faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.